Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, I Am Not Sick, I Don't Need Help, by clinical psychologist Xavier Amador, is a practical mental health guide for families, clinicians, and others trying to support a person who refuses care. The book focuses on a common and often misunderstood barrier to treatment in severe mental illness, lack of awareness of illness, frequently discussed as anosognosia. Amador argues that in many cases, the person is not simply being stubborn or in denial. Instead, the illness can impair the brain functions involved in self-appraisal. Built from clinical experience and the author's personal experience with a close family member, the book explains why arguing about diagnoses usually fails and often damages trust. Its core contribution is a communication and relationship-building method called LEAP, short for Listen, Empathize, Agree, and Partner. The 20th Anniversary Edition updates the original with additional material and refreshed research discussion, while keeping the emphasis on concrete steps readers can use to reduce conflict and increase voluntary engagement with treatment, I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anosognosia and why insight cannot be argued into existence. A foundational idea in the book is that some people with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and related conditions do not recognize they are ill, even when the consequences are severe. Amador frames this as impaired insight that can be neurological in nature, rather than simple denial. This distinction matters because it changes what is realistic to expect from conversation. If a person cannot accurately interpret their experiences as symptoms, direct persuasion often becomes a loop. The helper presents evidence, the person rejects it, and both become more entrenched. The book uses this lens to reduce blame and to help caregivers move from moral judgments toward strategy. It also explains why confrontation can escalate paranoia, defensiveness, or withdrawal, especially when the relationship already has a history of coercion, hospitalization, or repeated conflict. By treating lack of insight as part of the clinical picture, the reader is invited to focus on goals that are achievable without forcing agreement on diagnosis, such as improving safety, reducing distress, preserving housing, or restoring routine. This reframe sets up the methods that follow by emphasizing rapport and collaboration over debate. Secondly, the LEAP method is a trust-first communication framework. The book's best-known contribution is LEAP Listen, Empathize, Agree, and Partner. The sequence is important because it starts with relationship repair rather than persuasion. Listen means allowing the person to describe their beliefs and experiences without immediate correction or cross-examination. Empathize means reflecting emotion and meaning, communicating that you understand how their experience feels, even if you interpret causes differently. Agree involves finding shared points that do not require endorsing an illness label, such as agreeing that sleep is difficult, stress is overwhelming, or something feels threatening. Partner then turns that shared ground into cooperative action, ideally with the person retaining dignity and choice. The method aims to lower conflict, reduce power struggles, and create a pathway to accept help voluntarily. In practical terms, LEAP encourages the helper to replace statements like "you are sick" with questions like "what do you think would make things better?" and to use the person's own priorities as the entry point to care. Across the book, LEAP functions as a repeatable structure for conversations that would otherwise collapse into argument. Thirdly, from confrontations to collaboration, motivating treatment without forcing agreement. A recurring theme is that treatment engagement can be built without winning a debate about diagnosis. Many helpers assume the person must first admit illness before medication, therapy, or follow-up care can happen. Amador challenges that assumption by emphasizing practical alignment if the person wants fewer conflicts with family, better sleep, less fear, or improved functioning. Those goals can support a treatment plan even when the person rejects psychiatric explanations. This approach shifts the conversation from proving to problem solving. The book highlights how language choices, timing, and emotional tone influence whether the person feels respected or attacked. It also underscores patients' cooperation is often incremental, especially after earlier experiences of being pressured or hospitalized. By focusing on the person's stated concerns, the helper can propose small steps, such as meeting with a clinician for help with stress or sleep, exploring medication effects as a personal experiment, or agreeing to a follow-up appointment tied to a concrete benefit. The broader point is motivational autonomy and collaboration tend to produce more durable adherence than coercion, even when the situation is tense. Fourthly, crisis planning and safety boundaries for families and caregivers. While the book is strongly relationship-oriented, it is also written for people dealing with high-stakes situations. A realistic implication of poor insight is that relapse, refusal of care, or risky behavior can recur. The book therefore addresses how families can prepare rather than improvise. This includes thinking through warning signs, deciding in advance what behaviors trigger a firmer response, and clarifying what support the family can and cannot provide. The emphasis is not on controlling the person, but on reducing chaos and preventing avoidable escalations. Communication skills like LEAP are presented as most effective when used consistently, including during calmer periods, so that trust exists before a crisis. At the same time, the book recognizes that some circumstances require decisive action to protect the person or others. It helps readers hold two truths at once: compassion and respect are essential, and boundaries and safety planning are also essential for many families. This is a validating message because it acknowledges the emotional toll of caregiving while offering a structured way to respond that reduces guilt, resentment, and repeated cycles of conflict. Lastly, navigating systems of care and the limits of what loved ones can control. Another major topic is the gap between what families observe day-to-day and what systems allow them to influence. The book discusses the practical realities of engaging clinicians, communicating concerns, and working within privacy rules such as HIPAA in the United States. Without promising easy solutions, it encourages caregivers to focus on what they can do, share observations, document patterns, ask about crisis resources, and build a collaborative stance with providers when possible. It also highlights that helpers cannot single-handedly cure the illness, and that trying to control every outcome often backfires. The book positions LEAP as useful, not only with the loved one, but also in reducing adversarial dynamics with professionals and agencies by keeping conversations grounded and shared. Goals like safety, stability, and functioning. This systems-aware perspective helps readers move from feeling helpless to taking targeted actions that can improve continuity of care. It also clarifies why persistence matters. Treatment acceptance is often a process involving repeated opportunities, setbacks, and renewed partnership rather than a single decisive conversation. In conclusion, this book is best suited for family members, partners, close friends, and frontline professionals who regularly face the painful moment when someone says, "I am not sick," and refuses help. Readers will benefit most if they want a concrete, repeatable approach for talking with a person who rejects diagnosis, and if they are willing to prioritize relationship and trust over winning an argument. The practical payoff is a communication toolkit that can reduce day-to-day conflict, preserve dignity, and create more openings for voluntary treatment. Intellectually, the book stands out by explaining lack of insight as a clinically meaningful phenomenon rather than a moral failing, which helps readers replace frustration with strategy. Compared with many general mental health guides, it is narrowly focused on the problem of treatment refusal, and therefore offers more usable guidance for that specific dilemma. It also bridges audiences. It is accessible to non-clinicians, while still grounded in clinical thinking about severe mental illness and adherence. The 20th Anniversary Edition maintains the core message while presenting updated framing and expanded guidance, making it a strong starting point for anyone seeking a realistic, compassionate way to support treatment engagement without escalating power struggles. If you would like to support Xavier Amador, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.